Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's home for every game of Chicago Cubs baseball.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
And Chicago Bulls basketball.
Bull game over!
We are Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station.
The Score!
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out!
I think tomorrow's show might be a Let It Ride Friday. Ray and I will figure all of it out. But we will definitely break down what happens in the Bulls-Clippers game tonight as the Bulls start a meat grinder of a five-game home stretch. Top of the hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. Parkins and Spiegel are in the house today. Boys, how did your short show go yesterday?
We were able to manage.
We fought through it.
Yeah.
Can I? Able,
2 hours, Lawrence. I mean, that's a heavy lift, man. But you should try 50 minutes. Like, it flew by.
Yeah. You think 2 hours is hard?
That's what I'm saying.
Try 50 minutes when you got a lot of thoughts. I think I got to take issue with the whole meat grinder thing for the first time maybe ever in my life. All right. Meat grinder of a schedule. The thing is, at the end of using a meat grinder, you've got meat, which is delicious and useful.
Oh, interesting.
Right? At the end of this particular meat grinder schedule, we might have a play-in game, which is not delicious.
No, it's awful.
Right? So maybe that whole analogy needs to be rethought.
You got
just
a suggestion?
No. Like, I'm not in the solution business. Oh. I'm just in the pointing out
seats.
Problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still fairly optimistic that they avoid the play-in game.
I'm less optimistic. Now, the good thing is that they've got those last two wins against Cleveland and the tiebreaker against Toronto, so that helps. That helps tremendously.
Right, they'd have to get actually passed by both teams.
But this stretch of games, Danny.
Oh, it's a tough stretch of games, but, I mean, Cleveland, not the same since Allen's been out, mm-hmm. right? They've lost 4 of 5. Like, I don't know. I think that is just losing 2.5 games in the standings with 6 to go when Cleveland also has Philly, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee.
I know.
That strikes me as very unlikely.
I think they're going to be okay. I expressed a dream yesterday that Danny quickly laughed off and swept away, Lawrence.
Well, because it was ridiculous.
Well, how we doing? Celtics lost last night. Celtics, without Robert Williams, I dream of them going on a losing streak here and falling to 6. They're 2.5 games up on both the Bulls and the Raptors. I'm dreaming of a Bulls-Raptors first round series while
those
the Celtics
games have been so weird between the Bulls and the Raptors.
I know. And then it segued into Danny dreaming of Bulls and Celtics as sort of the best they could hope for.
4-5 matchup,
thinking? Like a 4-5 on Bulls Celtics, but I'm afraid of Jason Tatum.
You should be. He's been terrific.
Yeah,
he's an amazing basketball player, but at least with Tatum, he's not a freak. Like, you know, like at least he's not Embiid or Giannis, and I think that those are your real likely outcomes here.
Well, we'll get a kind of an idea of what the Bulls can do guarding a player like that tonight, because it'll be, what do you do with Paul George? Like, because Paul George is really good, but I wouldn't put him in the freak category. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, and Tatum is playing like a superstar.
Yeah,
like, he is a remarkable basketball player. But at least, like, when DeMar DeRozan stands next to Jason Tatum, you're like, oh, yeah.
They are of a similar species.
Yeah, right, okay. Like, you know.
Meanwhile, Joel Embiid is out here like Predator.
Right. Like, that's what I'm talking
Sorry,
about.
Sorry, Speaks. I know that you've boycotted Predator.
Yeah.
Predator Speaks is
unfamiliar.
Unfamiliar. Yeah, so like, I think that, like, I know it's like a fairly rudimentary or remedial like basketball point, but there's no one on the roster that looks like Giannis. There's no one on the roster that looks like Embiid. There are guys on the roster that kind of look like Tatum.
I hear you.
I'll take that one.
And losing Robert Williams is a big, big deal for the Celtics. Now lost two in a row. They fell apart last night and didn't shoot it well. But defensively, he changes everything that they do. And now not having him, Daniel Tice in a big spot for them. So I'm still holding out on my dream. Holding out on my dream, Danny. You can't just tell me to wake up without having a dream.
Sure. Like, but you can read the standings, man. Like I
could do that if I wanted to, sure.
I bet you that, like, if there was a playoff predictor, I bet you Bulls Raptors as a first round playoff series is less than 1% right now. So you're telling me there's a chance. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Well, I'll throw something at you guys, because the last time suggested a wager, you guys both jumped right in and then it promptly lost value immediately. You can still get the Phoenix Suns to win the NBA title at 3-1. That interest anybody?
Yes.
I bet it yesterday.
I got Milwaukee at, I think, 5-1.
I like you. I like where that is.
I have a bet on Milwaukee, too, from earlier in the year at 7-1.
Oh, look at that. See, Milwaukee just has the look of a team that knows they can win, waiting until they have to prove
That's what it sounds like. And when you see them, and I know that it's us looking at it from the lens of them playing the Bulls, but even without Chris Middleton, for Drew Holiday to be the guy that's like, yeah, you guys need me to score today? Oh, cool. Here's 27. You know, like, to be able to have that on your team, a guy that understands his role, whether one of the other two stars is in or out of the lineup, is pretty amazing.
I'm with you. I think Milwaukee's great. I think that Giannis is probably the MVP, even though he won't win it, because if he was going all out this regular season, if they felt like they needed to, he was only averaging 33 minutes a game, just crazy with the numbers he's putting up. If he played if he played 36 minutes a game, he'd have the scoring title and everyone would agree that he's the MVP.
But I mean what the stuff that Jokic is out here doing, man.
Oh, it's crazy. But they are, you know, so 46-31, 47-28.
I mean this run that he's been on actually does coincide with them moving back up in the standings, though.
Yeah,
because I want to say that they were like 37-29 or something like that. And then he started doing his thing. They started winning games. But Danny, that Sun squad.
I want to spend a minute on this. Like, so they've won 9 games in a row.
Uh-huh.
They're 62-14. So there's 6 games to go. The next team in the loss column is Memphis with 23 losses. So Phoenix is 9 games better than the next best team.
It's remarkable.
And they've done it with some injuries, right, to Chris Paul, but he's going to be healthy for the postseason.
And even when he isn't,
They still win.
Campaign is out there throwing lobs and running an offense effectively.
And Devin Booker is outrageous.
He's money, man.
Just outrageous.
But teams that win 66 games win titles. You know what I mean? Like that is a pantheon that has been done less than 20 times in NBA history, and like 70% of the teams that have reached that threshold win a title. This is a crazy good basketball team that was also crazy good last year, and I feel like for some reason, maybe it's because they don't have a Durant freak like we were talking about earlier, or people think that Golden State is just...
I think the Golden State thing is over.
Yeah, no.
So then what is the reason? Why are they even money to win the West?
Because are they even money to win the West?
Memphis and Ja?
Memphis and Ja have that glow. Memphis is 18-2 without Ja, which is insane to think about. They've played 20 games and won 18 of them without Ja. So they're clearly more
Phoenix
than that. I would take Phoenix too, but to win the title,
take him over the Nuggets in a series.
Yeah, I'd take him over the Nuggets in a series. Phoenix knows how to beat you any way that you want to play. That they just finished a stretch of 9 games straight where they shot 50% or better as a team. Nobody had done it in 29 years. So they shoot like crazy. They play defense beautifully, led by Ayton. And they just...
And Bridges. JaVale McGee.
Yeah.
Like they've got a crazy versatile defensive lineup.
Yes, they do.
Booker is a superstar. And Chris Paul is arguably the most talented point guard ever.
The problem with your 3-1 bet on them to win the title is that they'll probably face Milwaukee, and the Bucks got them last year. So what's different?
You could argue that they're a year better. That's the argument. Like, nothing's really changed for Phoenix. Like, I think they were super good last year, and they were a surprise for everyone. This year, they've been a little bit better, and they're dangerous. Like, I think that the Danny's point, don't dismiss them, and that it's a very good value to bet them right now is spot on.
And I just also think that it's much more likely that Phoenix comes out of the West than Milwaukee comes out of the East.
Yes, because there's really not a lot of competition for them there.
Like, and you can even argue
the East is a rock fight,
right? And you can even argue like that the West, like top to bottom, is maybe a little better, but there's not. You know, like I think you can make the argument that like the 5-8 seed in the West is a little scarier than the 5-8 seed in the East.
Well, you know what, Danny, you don't even have to do that. If I told you that Miami, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and Boston, and Brooklyn, it could win the championship, you would go, yeah, okay. You can't name me 5 teams in the West that you think could win it.
Right. And I'm not even positive that this Heat team, even though they're the 1 seed, or this Sixers team, like I think Boston, Milwaukee, and Brooklyn for sure can. I guess I shouldn't rule out Miami, but
shouldn't take Philly out of it.
Philly's the one that scares me the most if I'm the Bucks. I think the Bucks might just roll right through the damn East.
Phoenix just beat Philly by 10, by the way. Like, you know, they just...
Phoenix is great.
They just make these teams look like light work. So I don't know, man. There's something about how Harden's playing recently.
Has he demanded a trade yet?
Not yet. Offseason.
Okay. Maybe he flips the switch again
to Milwaukee
come the postseason, but
he's got postseason chokes on the resume.
Right.
Plenty
he has
of them.
One of the biggest NBA postseason chokes with that. Was that 1-23 or whatever it was in the West Finals? So.
Hey, I'm old enough to remember him falling apart when he was the third option with Oklahoma City, you know, where he just had a couple of brutal playoff moments there.
Yeah. I think we're, for some reason, I don't even really know what it is. Like, just saying, like, oh, Phoenix, regular season darling.
And we just did it last year. We just did it last year with them, and then they rolled through to the finals.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, so you shouldn't do that again.
Especially because I don't think the other teams in the West are, like, as good. Like, obviously, Utah isn't as good this year. Golden State isn't as good this year. Memphis is better, but... I just...
You think this is maybe like a Q rating, haven't seen enough of them type deal?
But I think so, but they were in the finals last year. Like,
I know.
It's so weird.
They've had a bunch of national games this year.
And they're healthy.
obviously they should have a bunch of, but I just wonder, because they aren't like brand name
right
basketball royalty, if people just be like, oh, that's nice that they're going to win 70 games or whatever. Like, oh, that's nice. It's a real cute story they got going on in the desert out there.
But like, so this 9-game win streak that they have, it started not that impressive in terms of the teams they were beating. Played the Lakers. All right, Lakers aren't very good. They 30-balled them. Played the Pelicans. Beat it by 16. Bad team. Played the Rockets. Terrible team. Beat him by 17. Played the Bulls. Beat him by 27.
And it wasn't that close.
Right. Kings game was oddly close. Timberwolves by 9. Nuggets by 10. Sixers by 10. Warriors by 4. That game, by the way, was on the road. They are in Memphis tomorrow night.
There you go.
So that's a fun one. That's 1-2. Two best records.
That's great.
On the road.
Still no Ja. Ja might not play for the entire regular season, right? Right.
Yeah. So I don't... It's just... Like, then they had a loss to the Raptors. Then you go back to the game before. They won. Who'd they play? Oh, the Heat. Who are they? The one seed in the East. What'd they do? Won by 21. Like, they're just killing good teams. So,
And I think the best thing, like, we touched on it earlier, the fact that this team won a bunch of games with Chris Paul not available,
mm-hmm.
It shows you how good Devin Booker is.
Yeah.
It shows the maturity of campaign. And DeAndre Ayton understands exactly what he's supposed to do, and he does it really well. I don't think that he's I wouldn't call him like a great player, and I know that there's some contention there with him and his contract. I just know that he understands his role, and if you understand your role and commit to it the way that he has, you can get paid and you can win,
yeah.
And that's what we're seeing.
I have to go back to this with Memphis. It's now 19-2.
Yeah.
In 21 games without Ja. I mean, how deep can people go on their roster past that guy? I mean, Jaren Jackson is a stud. Might win Defensive Player of the Year. Set the franchise record in blocks last night. Desmond Bane's a good player. Steven Adams is a great...
Oh, Batman!
Yeah, exactly.
You think you're in charge here?
Oh, come on. People of Gotham! You need a little more Cosby in there to really make it work.
Well, you don't want that these days.
Yeah, I don't know the last time someone said that.
Oh, yeah, a lot less Cosby in there. That's a good point. That's a good point by you. You know who started at point guard for them last night? Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones is starting a point guard for Memphis, and they're 19-2 without Ja. Outrageous.
Yeah, really good. Really tough.
Steven Adams beats your ass in the post and gets mm-hmm. offensive rebounds for you all the time.
Yep. Dylan Brooks can create and shoot and score and defend. They got some people.
All right. You want to take them... You want to take Phoenix or you want to take Memphis?
What's Memphis
to win the
at?
West?
Yeah.
To win the West, what's Memphis at?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'll pull it up.
Because that's ridiculous, right? To be that good without the kid who Kevin Durant is calling a future Hall of Famer.
Let's see.
Oh, Batman!
15-1.
To win the West?
Oh, to win the whole thing.
Win the whole thing?
To win the whole thing. Sorry. To win the Western Conference.
All right.
6.5-1.
Put me down for a fun ticket on them to win the whole thing. Put me down.
100 to win 1,500?
That's the fun ticket.
All right,
there.
I got you.
That's what I taped to a postcard for Shane Reardon.
Yeah.
As a birthday present.
Yeah. That's all right. I'll take my nice, clean, tidy 3-1. On the Phoenix Suns to win the whole thing.
I think I'm probably with you, but the Memphis one is intriguing.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's intriguing with those odds and like, oh, he's just resting up and then he's going to come back in here and dunk on everyone. That might be fun to watch for 5 weeks.
Fun to watch. 100. Yeah. He's arguably the most fun player in the whole league. Yeah, he's great, but I'll take the cash. I'll take the win. Who do you guys do? You have a pick for the Final Four? I keep going back and forth in Nova, Kansas, but I'm betting on Coach K.
My issue with Nova is that they're injured, and
because they only went 6 deep, and now it's like 5 deep.
Yeah, what they're going to do is they're going to try to muck the game up. They're going to play defense. They're going to do all the things that Jay Wright teams do. They're going to hit free throws, all of that stuff. I think Kansas may be too good, and I think that Remy Martin has had an incredible tournament. I'm probably leaning towards Kansas in that game. I don't know what to do with Duke, North Carolina.
Here's the thing.
I like Duke.
I like Duke, too, and I wish I didn't. But, like, they got their ass kicked by Carolina.
Yes, three weeks ago.
3 weeks ago on a night when they thought... I think they thought, well, we got this one because they'd beat Carolina in Chapel Hill by like 20.
And Carolina had lost to Pitt.
Yeah.
Like Duke thought they were going to throw the jerseys out there on Coach K night.
Right.
Now they don't think that now.
Correct. Correct. They don't think that now. They are motivated. This is the stage that they're feeling. There's not 95 alumni making them feel like they're 12 feet tall in the building. I think they'll come out and do their thing. I love Jay Wright. I love the way they play. He always seems to have a team that plays the same. You know, talk about building a program and coaching with consistency.
A better coach than Bill Self.
But, yes, yes.
But I don't think he has enough horses this time. Like if, like you said, Speaks, like their team that their rotation is probably 6-7.
Yeah,
and now it's 5-6. That's just not enough. Like Kansas has enough athletes to make this. I think that they'll keep it close because that's what Villanova does. Like they're looking for you to make a mistake, and usually when you make a mistake, they will pounce on you because they're super well coached. I'm just having a hard time getting over their lack of depth in a game of this magnitude.
Yeah.
These are games that KU loses. When they're supposed to win.
It's true.
But they would have said the same thing about the Miami game in the Elite Eight, and they dominated. You know, Agbaji started out really poorly first three games of the tournament, but then had an awesome Elite Eight game. Like, if Agbaji and Remy Martin both play well, they probably win by 10. The Duke thing, man, Duke was an 11-point favorite at tip-off in that game at Cameron for Coach K's last game.
And that's amazing.
They're a 4-point favorite in this game. And so... is home court advantage 7 points?
Well, I think it was narrative street, though, Danny.
I agree. But like, it's not like there's not a narrative for this one. I mean, all five guys who Duke starts could end up being first-round picks in like the next 2 years.
They're going to score. It's a matter of whether they give a crap defensively. And I don't, you know.
Why wouldn't they care? This is a pretty big game.
That's what I mean. Like, this one, I think they'll care. I think they thought that they could just roll the jerseys out that night at Cameron.
Yeah, so I like Duke, unfortunately. And if Coach K is going to win, he may as well cover. And I may as well make money because it's a little sickening that this guy's going to go out with a title.
He's going to go out with a title.
Yeah, so you better go out covering spreads because that's the only way that I'm going to be able to tolerate it.
That's the only way he's a legend.
Yeah, exactly.
Storybook Coach K stuff is just going to be nauseating on Monday night.
So that's what gave me some joy when Carolina beat them.
Sure.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
It gave me a lot of joy because the way that it was, obviously, like the way that it was framed was here was this last game at Cameron and they're the craziest and all this stuff. And I swear, from a national perspective, ESPN did not know what to do after that they lost. They didn't know how to cover it.
No, nobody knew what to do. That's why Coach K yelled at everybody.
Shut up! I've got to tell you that wasn't the type of effort that we expect.
Quiet down.
And guess what?
I'd like to apologize.
He was right. And they have...
Please, everyone be quiet.
I want to apologize for this afternoon.
It's unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
But when the Coach K 30 for 30 gets made, that's the opening scene because he ends it with like, and by the way, the season's not over. Right? So you lose that game and then you go on and you win the title.
Or Saturday is the opening scene.
God, that would be so great.
There's got to be. Yeah, there's at least one Coach K 30 for 30 already. Isn't there?
I don't know. Well, you guys are...
I've lost track of all of the 30 for 30.
I know, because there's more than 30.
Because it's like 35 now.
Oh, yeah, it's like 70. 70 for 35.
No, I mean for the year, right? It was 30 for 30 and now it's like almost 35 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What's the biggest Final Four game of your guys' lifetime?
Duke UNLV.
Yes.
The second one, right? The rematch?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, like, I obviously don't remember. Because like, I'd say the biggest Final Four of mine, like, when I cared was 2008, the only time we've had 4-1 seeds. Right? When it's Derrick Rose in Memphis, Bill Self when he gets his title with Chalmers, North Carolina, and Westbrook and their UCLA team.
Yeah, no,
UCLA
that's pretty
team.
Great. I got to go ahead and age myself here. And tell you that I remember very clearly Houston going to three in a row. with Hakeem Olajuwon,
okay,
and Clyde Drexler and those teams, and being like, who is going to beat these teams? And somebody usually did. And it was the same time as Georgetown and Pat Ewing, and same time as Villanova mixed in there. It's like, but those Houston teams, man, I just could not wait to watch them again and again and again.
So does college basketball like cut through in the same way that it did? Like this is arguably the biggest Final Four game ever. It's arguable, right?
Duke and Carolina.
First time the biggest rivalry in the sport has ever met in the tournament, and no, it's Coach K's last game.
It doesn't cut through, because even if you're thinking, you know, Georgetown, Carolina with Jordan, I mean, look at Sam Perkins is on that team. You know?
You mean the James actual, Worthy. Like, Final Four weekend or the Final Four overall?
I'm thinking like
like just the Saturday games, or are you saying in the history of the Final Four? Because I mean, Bird Magic is amazing.
Right. No. I was thinking a Final Four game. Right. Not for a title.
Okay.
But because Bird Magic is a seminal moment for like the entire sport of basketball. That's a great. Yeah, you're right.
And guess what other team was there?
DePaul, my friend.
There we go. They were.
That's right. That's exactly right. Third place that year, folks.
Oh yeah.
But I'm interested.
Was that missed free throws? Was that the missed free throws night?
Yeah, they lost to Bird 76-74.
Right? And who was it? Skip? Ah, oh, damn.
Dillard.
Skip Dillard.
Terry.
Skip Carey, who was buried with his father, Chip, after Johnny Red Kerr's entire family was burned in a fire while celebrating his birthday. Do I have that right?
That is correct.
Is that how that all goes?
I believe so.
Okay. All right. Good. I'll tell you that the number to hammer, I just found my favorite bet of the Final Four.
Okay.
It's the under in Kansas and Villanova, because Villanova is going to slow the hell down. And that number is 134. So I will go ahead and hammer that under, because Jay Wright and Nova.
The trend has been first half unders too.
Yeah, oh, really?
First half unders, very profitable. All Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. I think only one first half under didn't happen in the Duke-Arkansas game.
Oh, you're a regular Haralabob.
Hey, man.
Whatever the advantage is, you'll find it.
Whatever it is, man. I don't watch any college basketball all year and then slaughter the tournament in March. I told you this was going to happen. We got a fun show today, Lawrence. Score stories guest today at 5 o'clock. The one, the only, Barry Rosner.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's money right there.
Yeah. And at 4 o'clock...
If we can get him to tell the truth on some stuff, that'd be really fun.
Yeah.
I don't think that he's afraid.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. Speaking of someone who's unafraid, Lewis Black at 4 o'clock on today's show. And
it's so funny because yesterday, Tomasulo and I were talking about like partisan comedians and how most of them don't, like, aren't good enough at what they're saying to cut through. And I feel like Lewis Black is the exception to that rule.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like, he was literally the first name that popped into my mind as we were talking about that.
Well, because everyone can relate to anger.
Yes. Especially in this country right now.
Everyone can feel the visceral anger that emanates from every word that man says.
It's true.
Hey, Bobby Wagner just signed a contract with the Rams, former Seahawks linebacker.
Well, the rich get richer.
Yeah, there you go. They got a whole Lakers thing going on right now.
They really do. How do they have that kind of money?
They don't. they just make it up. They find a way.
I guess you never spend any money on rookies.
Bleep them picks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
5 years, $50 million up to 65. All right. Well, good. At least one talented player is still in the NFC.
Playing behind Aaron Donald.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a good team.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's a good team. That's a good team. So that's the show. A lot of baseball, fun show dinner from last night.
Looked tasty.
It was, my God, dude. Over the top.
It was ridiculous.
We'll get it.
We'll discuss.
We will discuss. So that's the show, Lawrence.
All right, boys. Have yourselves a show. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.